Life Audio.
The Mama Take Heart podcast with Rabrina Rettle is brought to you by Life Audio and is a part of our Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
You're listening to Mama Take Heart, Understanding Your Gen Z Girl, a show designed to help you be the compassionate, gospel-centered, and influential voice in your girl's life. I'm your host, Rabrina Rettle. Today's guest is no stranger to Mama Take Heart. She's been with us before. The episode we talked about diet culture. Our guest today is Bracha Kopstick, a registered dietitian specializing in adolescent nutrition. She practices with a non-diet approach. She helps parents feel calm and confident with raising tweens and teens to have a positive relationship with food and their body. Through supportive and collaborative virtual counseling, Bracha educates parents so they can raise adolescents with a good relationship with food, free of shame and guilt. Welcome back to the show, Bracha, and thanks for joining us again. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back and to talk with you some more about eating with our girls.
Yes. Yeah. So we want to, I am really interested from your perspective, because you are a registered dietitian. Mm-hmm. And so from your perspective, I love to hear about eating disorders, disordered eating, that sort of thing. So let's just dive in.
Yeah.
I know that there's been some statistics but of tweens and teens who suffer from eating disorders.
Yeah. There are, I mean, honestly, I found from 2007, the International Journal of Adolescent Medicine and Health came out that eating disorders are the third most common chronic illness in adolescent females in the U.S. The pandemic has really changed that. And we've seen huge increases in the numbers of teens and younger than that being diagnosed, being admitted into hospitals. It's really been such an uptick, such an increase, unfortunately, which kind of makes a lot of sense, because as we'll talk about more about eating disorders, what they are and where they come from, eating disorders serve a purpose. They're not just something that comes out of nowhere. And when kids and teens are living in uncertainty, they've got anxiety, they've got really just the unknown, these eating disorders kind of give that sense of control, help them deal with that anxiety. So it's really not that surprising that we have been seeing this really terrible coping mechanism, these skills, but it kind of does make sense that these increases have occurred over the pandemic.
I can see that, especially if it's about control, because there's a lot of things that are not within our control that at one time were, or at least we thought they were. And now there's just constant change, and there's a lot of hard things happening in the world. And so I can see that right in front of them, this one thing I can control. And so, so let's talk about eating disorders. What is an eating disorder and what are the most common types?
So first and foremost, an eating disorder, it's a psychobiological condition, a mental illness, but we see it physically affecting those with eating disorders. So eating disorders is a mental illness. It's not a choice. People don't decide that they're going to restrict or lose us or do any of those behaviors that I'll mention, but they're not choosing. That's an attention grabber. This is a serious mental illness. And because it's a mental illness, it needs that medical care. It's not just about eating more or eating less. It's about getting that treatment from a medical doctor, from a psychotherapist, from a dietitian, therapy. Like, it requires a whole team approach because it is both mental and physical.
Manifests itself physically. The mental disorder manifests itself physically.
Exactly.
So what are the most common types of eating disorders?
Okay, so we have anorexia. They're probably the most known. Mm-hmm. And that would be when there's body image concerns, when there's restriction, so cutting out food. Anorexia occurs in people of all ages, all genders, all races. This isn't something exclusive to a certain socioeconomic level. Like, this happens, anyone can have anorexia. There's also then is bulimia nervosa, and that's also restriction with that binge and purge, which we might be familiar with. And there is binge eating disorder. So that's periods of binge eating followed by a lot of psychological distress, a lot of shame and guilt. And this also occurs people of all body sizes. It's not like you can't tell who has what eating disorder because anyone can have any of these. And then there's ARFID, which is avoidant restrictive food intake disorder. So this isn't body image related, but there is food avoidance. There's fear around food. Mm-hmm. So that's a little bit more, it's still classified as an eating disorder, but it doesn't have that body image component to it. There's more of the food issues there.
Does that mean that you just, you're afraid of a particular type of food? Is that what that
means? Yeah. So it could be, so there's a lot of anxiety around eating. It could be related to something in like a traumatic experience around food at a younger age. It could be texture related. So there's a lot of other issues that are coming around in ARFID. But it also, we can see weight loss in that because they're kind of cutting out what they're willing to eat. There's that not eating with friends necessarily, eating very specific food. So it is still it's definitely a concern, definitely a medical issue. It's slightly different in the root cause of it. And then there's other specified feeding or eating disorders, which essentially is a combination of any of the other eating disorders that don't meet the specific criteria that have been created to diagnose. But again, they're just as serious as all of the other eating disorders. And they also, people with EDNO, with OSFED rather, are just as deserving and needing to get treatment mm-hmm. and help.
Someone had talked about exercise.
Yes. Exercise bulimia. Yeah. So there are there's orthorexia as well. So that would be kind of an obsession with healthy or clean eating, which can kind of lead a person to cutting out more and more and more food. So very heavy restriction in orthorexia. There's that obsession around food as well. Exercise bulimia or exercise obsession is focusing on exercising excessively, which again can lead to not eating enough to meet those requirements of movement, impacting social life, exercising through an injury. So a lot of other unhealthy, negative behaviors there as well. There's also diabulimia, so people with diabetes who will take more insulin to break down their food, so to break down more food so that they are ingesting as many calories. But that would lead to very dangerous consequences there.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I think we have talked about eating disorders and disordered eating, which I'm pretty sure that I suffered from disordered eating. And because I would eat, but I don't know, I had very weird eating habits. And unfortunately, my daughter has ADHD, and people don't realize how that also affects how people eat, like for her not remembering, which I never understood this, but not remembering to eat. And then when you do, you just eat so much because you're so hungry.
Yeah.
So kind of talk about disordered eating.
So I'd say there's kind of a continuum of eating with healthy eating, meaning that having a good relationship with food on one end and an eating disorder on the other end. And disordered eating can fall anywhere within that continuum, in that sometimes it's just, it can manifest in so many different ways, with it being really problematic or less problematic. I would put dieting is definitely in that disordered eating, because it's really any of those behaviors where you are putting rules around food or eating for reasons or in ways that don't honor your body's needs. Mm. So it might be limiting certain types of food. It might be cutting out full categories of food. It might be eating depending on what time it is, or not eating depending on what time it is. It's even calling food good or bad and eating in response to those labels. So it's really any form of eating that isn't listening to what your body needs, isn't respecting that.
Intuitive type of eating is what you're kind of talking about. To be able to eat intuitively by whatever it is your body is telling you that your body needs. What are the signs and symptoms of eating disorders? What should we be on the lookout for?
So an eating disorder really thrives in silence and with shame. There's going to be a lot of hiding and keeping quiet around this. You may notice your child is skipping meals. Maybe they're taking really long to eat. Maybe they're playing with their food as a way of kind of keeping away from eating.
Mm-hmm. Trying to move it around the plate, but not really eating.
Mm. Exactly. Yeah. Also, there's going to be a real obsession with food, because when we're not eating, the body tries to do everything it can to get you to eat. Mm-hmm. And one of those things it does is really thinks about food all the time. The body, it's thinking about food, but the person isn't eating, but they're going to be obsessed with food. So you might see them start to be really interested in meal preparation. We see kids who really get into baking or cooking the family meals. They're starting to watch cooking shows, looking at recipe books, or getting into food photography. So really a lot of different hobbies around food, but not actually eating food.
Mm. Okay, so that's good that you made that distinction, because there are people who would like to be chefs or like to have a little cooking show on YouTube or whatever. And that's different than people who want to be around food but do not want to ingest it themselves. And so that's what you're saying to be in the lookout for. Okay.
Exactly. Also, some other things is being in a really high emotional state. So if the brain is hungry, so it's not getting the energy it needs, it's going to be unable to regulate emotions. Mm. You know, there's the typical teenage angst, but then there's like not being, you know, more than that, like constantly crying, unable to focus, like, or we can see a really lockdown of emotions as, so kind of flip sides, mm-hmm. but both or either can be a sign of a starving brain.
Mm. Okay. That's actually good to know. Okay. And also just to be aware that, yes, this is a hormonal cocktail going on inside of your tween and teen's body. So there are going to be a range of emotions that you are going to see. But what you're saying is just be on the lookout for if it's a certain intensity. And I would say that doesn't necessarily mean to have an eating disorder, but it is something to still be aware of, because there could be something else going on that you're not aware of. But that's just one of the ways to gauge that there's something going on with your tween or teen, just to be on the lookout for.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I think we've kind of been thrown that message that teens and tweens are highly emotional, and we kind of accept that as fact. But I think that we can see those as something else going on, that it doesn't have, you know, that fluctuation of emotions mm-hmm. is a sign of something else oftentimes.
I agree. I know that my daughter was, I think it was age, I don't know if it was 13. It didn't take much for tears. Yeah. Not at all. But then, I don't know, was she 13 or 14? I started noticing there was other things going on with her. And I just kept watching her. And I was like, something's not right. Something's not right. There's something going on with her. And then eventually I took her to her pediatrician and we both had to fill out a questionnaire. And he said the questionnaire mirrored each other. So what I was seeing is what she was feeling and that she was going through a depression. And so it is good to just try to be attuned to your child. You know your child better than anyone else. So it's good just to be attuned to what's going on with them. Okay, so let's talk about, do you still have more signs and symptoms?
I do have a few more. Okay, so you also have, like you mentioned, that excessive exercise, also sneaking food or eating on their own so that they don't have to be with family or friends around food, kind of that secretiveness coming in again. And there's also some girls will start missing their period. Not everyone does, but some people do lose their period because there's not, again, enough energy to warrant that loss, or that, you know, kind of body focuses in on the most important parts of the body. So like the heart, the lungs, keeping that functioning, and some other things will go by the wayside, such as also temperature regulation. So you might see that some people will get colder, you know, they might start wearing more clothing, both to keep warm, but also to hide their body. So there's like all of those, even sort of mentioned, have that body image component to it as well. So more concern around their body, hiding their body, trying to stay away perhaps from different activities that might show off their body. And there are more signs, you know, honestly, I've read through a lot, but there's also other things, of course, that this isn't all of the signs or symptoms that might happen in disorder.
So let's talk about social media and how social media impacts body image and eating disorders, which the filters. First of all, half of what you see is not real. Because it's heavily filtered. And then just second, what seems to be popular or what seems to get the most attention, even sponsors, the more you show of yourself, it seems to get more attention. And that can lead to someone focusing on what they don't look like and compared to what this other person looks like. And so I know that there has been, especially since the whistleblower Frances Haugen she was a former data scientist of Facebook. And she talked about how the increase of eating disorders for girls, I think she said 17% of teen girls, their eating disorders got worse after using a social media app, Instagram. So talk to us about that.
Well, you're saying exactly what it is. It's that image that their girls are being bombarded with over and over. They're seeing perfect bodies, the same body. And I say perfect only because the filters and the photoshopping and the lighting and the positioning. And it's always like that same body type, that same size and shape. And when you see that same image over and over again, that's what you think is accepted and only acceptable version. And then you come and you see yourself and like, that's not what I look like. I'm lacking. I need to fix myself. And like with filters, it's, even we do it ourselves. Like if we're using filters on ourselves, on our own pictures. So we're working on creating our own perfect version of ourselves for the app. And then we come and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we don't even recognize ourselves. So there's that dissonance between what we see as ourselves and what we're actually seeing of ourselves. And that makes us really uncomfortable. So it's seeing other people, but it's even seeing ourselves. We're messing our own brains up on what do we even look like. So definitely that image of perfection or that certain body type affects how we think of what's an acceptable body type and image, and trying to copy that or change, even if we're not able to change ourselves, but feeling dissatisfied with our body is very harmful. And, you know, to not be comfortable in your own body is a terrible experience. And kids and teens will do anything they can to not feel that way and to make themselves feel better where they're at. The greatest predictor of developing an eating disorder for an adolescent is dieting. So once kids or teens start restricting, once they actively cut out food as a means of changing their body, that leads to, or that can very often lead to, developing an eating disorder.
Yeah, I think that what is considered, quote, normal, really is not normal. You know what I mean?
No, because nobody looks like that.
Right, exactly. Yes, nobody looks like that. And so if a person has to filter themselves, then that's not the real them. So it is kind of hard, though, when you're a tween and teen, and that's what you see and that's what you believe. But it's hard to wrap your brain around, oh, well, I don't look like this. And there's a lot of messaging that has been sent to us, lots of messaging. What you were talking about before with some of the eating disorders, which some people would not even consider an eating disorder. You know, they would be like, oh, that's just normal eating. Right. And that's because of the messaging that we've received. And it's been over and over and over again. And the diet industry has created. And then there's messaging around what your body should look like and who you should look like. I have to say, though, I am encouraged. Now we are much more into a body positive atmosphere, and not to be ashamed of your body, but to one, okay, this is it, but thank your body for what your body can do. Whatever it is your body can do, thank your body for that. You know what I mean? Anyway, that's one way of kind of looking at it. But let's talk about how mamas can talk to their girls about eating disorders and help them, or even one of their friends if they have an eating disorder.
And it's so important because, like I mentioned, that eating disorders really breed in silence and with that shame. So talking about it is so important. And because an eating disorder is a mental illness, it's not something that you have to worry about kids developing when you talk about it. So that shouldn't be the fear. Yeah, it's not something that you're going to give them an idea about if you talk about it beforehand. And another thing about these conversations is I really caution parents not to have them around the eating times, like not at meals. Like if you're worried about the way your kids are eating, don't bring it up when they're eating, because we want meals to be like a positive experience, or at least neutral, and not to be contentious. And when you're in that moment, it's going to bring up all the negative emotions. So finding a neutral time to have these conversations when you're driving around somewhere and they're a captive audience is one of my favorite suggestions.
Yeah. I used to have a lot of conversations with my kids while we were driving. Now my son, he won't drive with me at all.
He's on to you.
The last conversation, he's like, you know what? I don't need to go with you.
So some of the things to talk about with your daughter would be, like we were just talking about social media, letting them know what's out there and where these messages are coming from. And then discussing what is actually beneficial to them. What is healthy eating? What it means to live in a different size body than what they're seeing. So celebrating body diversity, talking about how all bodies and all sizes and shapes are good bodies and deserving of all the positive things and are needing to be fed properly, and what food does that for them. And that, you know, bringing up all those messages around food that we want, like those positive messages that support healthy eating and living, making sure that you're not talking about food as good or bad or putting them into those categories. So supporting intuitive eating, supporting honoring your body's needs, and creating that environment that supports that. So where you have that body diversity, being celebrated in your home, where you have all the foods available and to be eaten in a non-judgmental way. Also to not make bodies the most, or appearance rather, the most important thing about your daughter, because she is more than a body. So we want to help her recognize that she's so much beyond her looks. So celebrating her values, her achievements, the things that make her unique and special.
Mm, that's good. Now you, because I know there are some moms who have struggled with eating disorders and never, or disordered eating, and never really learned how to eat properly. And so they might be kind of struggling with this themselves. Like, well, how can I teach my daughter if I'm still kind of in limbo on what to do myself? I'm still struggling myself, maybe not in such a severe way, but it's still kind of elusive on how to do it. And I know you offer coaching or classes or something like that. So can you kind of talk about that a little bit? I've seen that on your Instagram, that you kind of offer coaching in that area.
My counseling is either with teens themselves, where when the parents are wanting their kids to get that knowledge, that support in an individual manner of what actually they need to do to live a healthy life and feel comfortable with what they're eating and how they look. Some parents prefer to have me meet with them, right? So that they can kind of influence the culture of their home. And it's not just for that one specific child, but rather for the whole family to benefit from just a whole changed approach of mealtimes and snacks and what food should or shouldn't be in the home. And usually there are no foods that I say they shouldn't be at home. But really helping them figure out how to approach food and how to create that message for their family, especially because it's often being a complete switch from what's been previously. Like, because you mentioned, they just don't know, because that's not what they've been taught.
But right.
The diet culture message is so prevalent, so strong. It's often a whole new approach to food, but parents realize that that's what their kids need. That's what their families need to be able to live a more fulfilled life that doesn't just surround food rules or wanting to change their body.
Yeah, I like the way you said that, not to have it focused on one child, but to change the how the family learns about intuitive eating and how to make it a family motivation for everyone to participate. And how we now are going to choose what we eat, because that makes a big difference. When everyone is doing it, then the child who may have a problem or an issue with the eating may not feel so alone in the situation or targeted, you know, like it's just me, it's just me. But we're all going to learn how to do this the right way, how to eat according to our bodies. We're all going to learn to eat more green, you know, or whatever, you know, eat fish twice a week, whatever, you know, just kind of switching it up a little bit, trying different recipes. So that can make it not as stressful, I guess.
And often we often see that if one child is struggling in one area, very often a sibling is also struggling. It might come out looking a different way, but very often if there's one person having problems, another sibling might as well. And changing the whole environment can be really helpful in that scenario. Mm-hmm.
So how can our listeners connect with you so they can check out what you have as far as your coaching and just all other great information that you have? Because I know your Instagram is wonderful information.
Thank you. Yes, definitely check out my Instagram, adolescent.nutritionist. And that's where I link to any new blogs or my newsletter. So that's definitely the best place to be.
All right, listeners, I will put the links in the show notes as usual. And thank you so much for joining us today, Bracha, again. And maybe we'll see you soon.
I'd love to come back. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Remember, God is for you and you're not alone. With His Spirit, you are filled with courage and strength of purpose. So don't fret, Mama. Instead, take heart.
Mama Take Heart is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you liked what you just listened to, would you take a second and leave us a rating in your favorite podcast app? It really does help more people like you find our show. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and Steven Sanders, with executive oversight by Stephen McGarvey. You can find more podcasts like this over at lifeaudio.com.
This is Perseus Poku, host of the Sound Reasoning Ministry podcast. Learn how to share and defend your faith by listening to us weekly. Subscribe at lifeaudio.com.